Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 20, 2024, 1 John.
All right, once again, I remind you that everyone involved in Vacation Bible School, Sunday after the second class, there will be a meeting for all the people involved in Vacation Bible School. Sunday after the second class. Next week, Monday through Friday, Vacation Bible School. I encourage your prayers in that regard. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Father, that in these last days, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, for the principle of the Word of God, of Jesus Christ providing a wall of fire around the client nation to God when that client nation has a large pivot of mature believers. But we recognize also, Father, that when that pivot gets too small, the wall of fire from Jesus Christ is gone. Now, the only thing he can do by his absolute righteousness and perfect justice is bring discipline, the five cycles of national discipline, on the client nation of God. In that regard, sir, we know that as goes the believer, so goes the client nation of God. And therefore, in these days, assembling to feed on the absolute truth of the Word of God is more important than the air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship on the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4, because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, the cosmic system. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, the cosmic system. Our faith. The initial victory, faith in Jesus Christ. The experiential victory, faith in the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Verse 5. And who is the one who overcomes the world, the cosmic system? No one else but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hawiyas to Theo, it says in verse 5. And that phrase, Hawiyas to Theo, is emphasizing the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. You see, in John's day, there were many false teachers that denied the deity of Christ. They were called Gnostics. One of the leaders, Cerinthus, was in his congregation, in John's congregation, and he led many believers astray. We got those kind of people around today, enter into sound doctrinal teaching churches and lead people astray. Well, that's what Cerinthus did, and he had his type of false teaching called Gnosticism, Cerinthian Gnosticism. And therefore, the Apostle John dogmatically declares that the initial victory over the cosmic system occurs at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. The one who believes that Jesus, who solved the world problem of sin at the cross, is Hawiyas to Theo. He is the Son of God. That person wins the initial victory over the cosmic system. In the first half of our verse, verse 5, we have the articular participle Hanakon. And, well, for those of you who have been consistent and faithful, you've seen this many times. The definite article Ha plus N-I-K long O-N. Ha Nikon. It's an articular participle, which means it's a substantival participle, and it functions as a noun, and it means the winner. Ha Nikon is the winner believer. The winner believer means we were designed by God and His plan to be winners. Sad to say, today, most Christians are not Hanakon. Most Christians today are losers. They're Christians. They'll be in heaven. But they are losers. They are not a part of the solution in this problem. We got Christians today are the problem. And that characterizes most of the Christians in America. They are the problem. They are not the solution. Winner believers are the solution. And we were designed by God to be winners. We were never designed by God to be losers. In verse 4, we were born from God, regeneration is salvation, to be winners in the plan of God. So you were born to be a winner at salvation. Initial victory over the cosmic system occurs at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. So you were born to be a winner at salvation. But now the question is, will you be a winner after salvation? You are winners positionally in union with Christ, current positional truth. But the question now is, will you be winners experientially in your life? And the only way to be winners experientially is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up to spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that means clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. In John's day, those momentum tests included people testing, false teachers, Gnostics, the spirit of Antichrist, and thought testing, false doctrine and Gnosticism. The believer only has tactical advantage over the cosmic system when he is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Faith, consistent and faithful faith in the Word of God. The believer only has tactical advantage over the cosmic system when you put spiritual things first. When you put the Lord Jesus Christ first. That's the only way you will have the tactical advantage. So that phrase in verse 5, Hophuios tou theou, Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. And that's when we started our study on the doctrine of the deity of Christ. And so far we have studied the first 6 points of the deity of Jesus Christ. Point 1 was definition. Jesus Christ is eternal God. As a member of the Trinity, he has always existed as eternal God. And there never was a time when he did not exist as eternal God. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In eternity past, Jesus Christ had the same essence as the Father and the Spirit. And in time, he still had the same functions of deity. But he also became something he never was before. True humanity at the incarnation and virgin birth. The greatest miracle of all time occurred on that very first Christmas. The eternal Son of God became true humanity. Hypostatic union. Now he is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And therefore, he is the unique person of the universe. The Trinity is eternal. Christ is a member of the Trinity, and therefore Christ is eternal. And then point 2, we looked at scriptural documentation. Micah 5:2 says that Jesus Christ is eternal God during the incarnation, and we saw that. We also noted scriptural documentation, John 1:1-3, John 8:58, Titus 2:13, the Granville Sharp rule of grammar, Hebrews 1:8-10, 1 John 5:20. And then point 3, the pre-incarnate work of Christ indicates that he is God. He is the creator of the universe, John 1:3, Colossians 1:16, Hebrews 1:10. And therefore, as the creator of the universe, he had to be God to pre-exist all other creation. And then point 4, the doctrine of the divine decrees proves the deity of Christ. Christ is identified with the divine decree so as to be God in Psalm 2, especially Psalm 2, verse 7. And then point 5, Jesus Christ is Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. Actually, it was so holy, the Orthodox Jews never pronounced the word. If you pronounced it, it would be Yahweh. They never pronounced that. They saw the Tetragrammaton and always read Adonai. Jehovah is used for Jesus Christ. Now, the Tetragrammaton is used for all three members of the Trinity. Sometimes it's used for the Father. Sometimes it's used for Jesus Christ the Son. Sometimes it's used for the Holy Spirit. And context determines which one. But it is used for Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9:6-7, Isaiah 40:3, Jeremiah 23:5-6, Zechariah 12:10, all those passages, the Tetragrammaton is used for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And then point 6, the essence of God is ascribed to Jesus Christ. God is sovereignty. Jesus Christ is sovereignty. Revelation 19:16. God is holy. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Jesus Christ is holy. Luke 1:35, John 6:69. God is virtue love. Jesus Christ is virtue love. John 13:1-34, 1 John 3:16. God is eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Isaiah 9:6, Micah 5:2, John 1:1, John 8:58, Colossians 1:16-17, Ephesians 1:4. God is omnipotence. Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Revelation 1:8. God is omniscient. Jesus Christ is omniscient. Matthew 9:4. John 2:25. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Colossians 2:3. God is omnipresent. Jesus Christ is omnipresent. Matthew 28:20. God is veracity. Jesus Christ is veracity. John 14:6. God is immutable. Jesus Christ is immutable. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ did not suppress his deity at the incarnation and virgin birth. He was always deity. He always had the attributes of deity, the essence of deity. And when at the incarnation and virgin birth, and he took on true humanity, he did not eliminate any of his attributes of deity. That is what is taught in the false doctrine of kenosis, which comes from the Greek word kenao. Looks like that in the Greek, K-E-N-O, long O, kenao. And there are those that have said that Jesus Christ lost some of his attributes of deity once he took on true humanity. That's the false doctrine of kenosis. The true doctrine of kenosis is the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. He never lost any of those attributes. He was always eternal God following the incarnation and virgin. Always eternal God. But he voluntarily chose not to use certain divine attributes to carry out God the Father's incarnation plan. And the great passage on that is Philippians chapter 2. So turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. We've seen this many times, and we'll see it again. And I'm teaching you not so you can remember it. I'm teaching you so you will never forget it. That's repetition. Philippians 2, verse 5, your thinking, everyone in Upland Bible Church, your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You might just ask yourself, don't drop dead on me here or anything like that, but think about that. Is your thinking the same as that of Christ Jesus? Who, being in his very essence, God, deity, the deity of Jesus Christ, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But, now we have kanao, but he made himself nothing, it says in this translation. That's kanao, the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, true humanity, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. All right, now that brings us to point 7 in the deity of Christ, the doctrine of the deity of Christ, point 7. The appearances of Christ in history. First of all, the theophanies, the appearance of Christ before the first advent. Those are called theophanies. Now, there's also, secondly, there will be Christophanies. That's the appearance of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. And then, of course, there's the first and second advent. But first of all, the appearances of Christ in history, theophanies, the appearance of Christ before the first advent. And he appeared many ways. First of all, he appeared as a man. He appeared as a man. Turn over to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. Okay, Genesis 18, verse 1. Genesis 18, 1. Now we have the first two words. It says, the Lord, and the Lord is the Tetragrammaton. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. And that's where you'll be sitting the next week here. It's going to be about 150 degrees. Maybe a little bit less. That's evangelistically speaking. While he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Now, three men. One was the Lord. Verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham. So one of the three is the Lord. The other two are angels. Just turn over to chapter 19, verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. So there were three that appeared to Abraham. One is the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, verse 1. The other two are angels, and they are the ones, they were destroying angels, and they wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. And we are so degenerate in this country, God's going to send his angels and just wipe out the United States of America. We deserve it. When that happens, we got what we deserved. We're getting what we deserve. So I'm not going to look at it and go, oh yeah. Can't believe it's taken this long. We deserve being wiped out and removed as a client nation to God. Believers aren't interested in God. They're not interested in Bible doctrine. They got a million things that are more important. The Word of God is not more important than the air that they breathe. And as a result, the pivot gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And the wall of fire that Jesus Christ had around this nation is not here anymore. We're under the five cycles of national discipline, and we deserve it. So, first of all, Jesus Christ appeared as a man to Abraham, Genesis 18, 1 and 2. And then turn over to Genesis 32. He not only appeared as a man, but he appeared as a wrestler. Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verse 24. And wrestled Jacob. And by the way, this is where Jacob got his name changed and changed by Jesus Christ, changed his name from Jacob to Yisrael, Israel. Jacob was left alone, verse 24, and a man wrestled with him. The man is Jesus Christ, an appearance of Christ as a man in theophany. And he wrestled with him till daybreak. This was a long wrestling match. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, now Jesus Christ is God, he can overpower him if he wants to, but that wasn't the point. What point was not that? When this wrestling match went on, Jesus Christ touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with him. And by the way, Jacob, walked with a limp the rest of his life, wrestling with Jesus Christ. And then the man, Jesus Christ, said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. And then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Yisrael, Israel, because you have wrestled with God." You have wrestled with God. You just had this wrestling match wasn't with man. This wrestling match was with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." You know, when you wrestle with God and you're still living, I saw God face to face and I walk with a limp, but I'm still living. So, first theophany as a man. Second theophany as a phenomenon of nature. He appeared as a theophany, as a phenomenon of nature. Turn over to Exodus 40. Exodus 40. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The theophany here is a cloud. Jesus Christ appeared as a cloud. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord, Jesus Christ is the cloud in theophany. The cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night. So the theophany here is both cloud and fire. When the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. So, as a phenomenon of nature, theophany of the Lord was both cloud and fire. And then turn over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So the pillar of cloud over the tabernacle and the temple in the Holy of Holies. And then, third phenomenon of nature, the burning bush. Turn over to Acts 7. Acts 7. Acts 7. The burning bush. Acts 7, verse 30, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. And then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." So the burning bush. So he appeared in Theophanies as a man. He appeared as a phenomenon of nature, the cloud and fire, the pillar of cloud, and the burning bush. And third, he appeared in Theophany as the angel of Jehovah. Angel of Jehovah. Turn over to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. Genesis 16, let's start at verse 7. The angel of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ in Theophany, found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. And then the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He, Ishmael, will be a wild donkey." Well, that's a nice word, a wild jackass. "A wild jackass of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord, there's the tetragrammaton, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. So we see the angel of the Lord is the God who sees me. Jesus Christ in theophany as the angel of the Lord. And then turn over to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22, this is when Abraham went up to Mount Moriah to offer his son Isaac. Genesis 22, starting at verse 11. But the angel of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ, called out to him, Abraham, from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. Now, Jesus Christ knew that he feared God. He knew he was a winner believer. This was really for you and me. He knew all about Abraham at this time, that he's a winner believer, a spiritually mature believer. He knew that when he gave the mandate, go up Mount Moriah and offer your son, he didn't argue. He didn't say what. He just headed out. He had total respect, total humility, total respect for God. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. Occupation with Jesus Christ, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. And here the angel of the Lord says he is Jehovah, the tetragrammaton, the Lord, that because you have done this, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The angel of Jehovah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, theophany, before the first advent, Jesus Christ appeared as a man, as a phenomenon of nature, as the angel of Jehovah. And because Jesus Christ is always and the only visible member of the Trinity, he never appears as the angel of Jehovah after the first advent. And then secondly, there are Christophanies. And Christophanies were post-resurrection appearances of Christ, such as the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus when he believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then, of course, Third, there is the first advent and the second advent of Jesus Christ. All right. The doctrine of the deity of Christ. So again, verses 4 and 5, because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the cosmic system, Satan's cosmic system. And this is the victory that has overcome the cosmic system. Our faith, the initial victory, faith in Christ for salvation, the experiential victory, faith in the Word of God. And who is the one who overcomes the cosmic system, the world? No one else but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that brings us to 1 John 5, 6 through 12. This is the humdinger of a passage right here. 1 John 5, 6 through 12. In this passage we have the witness concerning the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, 6 through 12. 1 John 5, verse 6 starts out and it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. We have the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of eimi plus the articular aorist active participle of erchomai plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of houdor, with the genitive singular of haima and the conjunction kai, plus the proper nouns Jesus Christos. The demonstrative pronoun houtos. Houtos, H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. The demonstrative pronoun houtos means this, and houtos is the near demonstrative. But Arntgen Gingrich on page 601, the Greek lexicon, tells us that when houtos refers to someone who has just been mentioned, verse 5, Jesus is the Son of God, then it is correctly translated, this one. And that this one, Jesus is the Son of God. This one. So, one, houtos is putting the spotlight on the unique person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting the spotlight on the unique person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John, under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, is emphasizing. One, emphasizing Jesus Christ is God, the deity of Christ. Secondly, Jesus Christ is true humanity, emphasizing that that eternal God had to become true humanity to solve the world's problem of sin, because he had to go to a cross, and deity can't die, so he had to become true humanity, hypostatic union. And all of these things, the Gnostics rejected, denied them all. Cerinthus denied them all. And that's why the Apostle John is putting the spotlight on the deity of Christ, but not just the deity of Christ, but the true humanity of Christ, because the incarnation plan called for Jesus Christ to go to a cross for all the sins of the world to be poured out on him and judged in him. And then that spiritual death was followed by physical death, death and burial. And the Gnostics denied all of that. And so this is the Apostle John, under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, making this powerful And you got to realize he's talking to his congregation, and all they have been hearing from Cerinthus and the Gnostics is the exact opposite. Houtas is putting the spotlight on the unique person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, Houtas is emphasizing the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, his undiminished deity, his true humanity, united in one person forever. Three, Houtas is emphasizing the uniqueness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's putting the spotlight on the uniqueness of his spiritual death, those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., when that supernatural darkness came over the land, God the Father gathering up the sins of the whole world, pouring them out on Christ and judging them in Christ. And also, it's emphasizing, putting a spotlight on the uniqueness of his physical death. So it's Houtas is putting the spotlight on the uniqueness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the uniqueness of his spiritual death and the uniqueness of his physical death. And then the to be verb, a me, present active indicative, should be translated is. And then the verb, erkomai. Erkomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, erkomai. Now, erkomai literally means to come. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, pages 310 and 311, tells us that erkomai frequently has the sense of to appear, or to make an appearance, and that's how it's used in our verse, and therefore it refers specifically to the first advent of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. It refers specifically to the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, and the articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun, and therefore it is correctly translated, the one who came. The one who came, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, at the first advent. And then we have the preposition dia plus the genitive. Dia plus the genitive. D-I-A. Dia plus the genitive. And we've seen this many, many times in our classes here. And you know that this is by means of or through. And then we have hudor and haima. Hudor, H-U-D, long O-R. Hudor, that's the Greek word water. That's water and haima. H-A-I-M-A, haima, that's the Greek word blood. And then we have an apposition. Jesus Christos, Jesus Christ in apposition. So the corrected translation, this one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood, Jesus Christ. This one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood, namely, Jesus Christ. And then, God never has to repeat himself. When God says something in his word, that's once is plenty good enough. But he repeats himself here, repeats himself. So if God repeats himself, better loosen up. This one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood, namely Jesus Christ. not by water only. This is the objective negative uk plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of hudor with a definite article plus the neuter of the adjective monos used as an adverb. The objective negative uk slams the door. It's correctly translated, absolutely not. The preposition and plus the dative has the force of the dative of means and is correctly translated by means of. And then hudor is repeated. And again, it means water. And when the adjective monos is in the neuter, here's the adjective monos. M-O-N-O-S. But when it's in the neuter, it's M-O-N-O-N. That's the neuter. So when the adjective monos is in the neuter gender, monon, as it is in our verse, then it functions as an adverb and means only or alone. And with the objective negative uk, this says absolutely not by water only. Absolutely not by water alone. So, and then he's going to repeat himself. So this one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood, namely Jesus Christ. Absolutely not by water alone. And then he repeats himself, but by water and blood. Why is God the Holy Spirit wanting John to repeat himself? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. This is the conjunction Allah plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of hudor plus the conjunction chi with the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of haima. Allah. Not dead. Dead's a conjunction of contrast sometimes. This is Allah. The strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. Strongest. But. And it contrasts water alone with water and blood. And again, the N plus the dative has the force of the dative of means. Hudor again is water. Haima again is blood. The conjunction chi is and. So, the corrected translation of our verse says, this one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood, namely Jesus Christ. Absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. Okay. One. To understand what John is writing here in 1 John 5, 6 through 12, the witness concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that this book, 1 John, is a polemic against Gnosticism. To understand this passage, 1 John 5, 6 through 12, the witness concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that 1 John is a polemic against Gnosticism. Two, the Gnostics denied the deity of Christ. The Gnostics denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. The Gnostics denied the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. The Gnostics denied the true humanity of Christ. So the Gnostics denied the deity of Christ, they denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, they denied the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, They denied the true humanity of Christ. Three, the Gnostics said that the cross was an optical illusion. They said the cross was an optical illusion. Four, therefore they totally rejected the grace gospel. That eternal salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. They totally rejected the grace gospel, that eternal salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Five. For the Gnostic, salvation was the false gospel of philosophical speculation. For the Gnostic, salvation was the false gospel of philosophical speculation. Six. Since the Gnostics taught that the cross was an optical illusion, then they totally rejected the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, his salvation work of solving the world problem of sin, and they totally rejected the physical death of Christ. Since the Gnostics taught that the cross was an optical illusion, then they totally rejected both the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, his salvation work of solving the world problem of sin, and they totally rejected the physical death of Christ. You see, point seven, there cannot be spiritual death nor physical death in an optical illusion. There cannot be spiritual death nor physical death in an optical illusion. Eight, the spiritual death and the physical death of Christ on the cross prove that he is not only deity, but true humanity. He had to become a man. He had to become true humanity to solve the world problem of sin. The spiritual death and physical death of Christ on the cross proves that he is true humanity. Impeccable true humanity, sinless true humanity, and therefore qualified to take our place, to go to the cross and take our place, qualified to receive our sins in his body and the judgment for those sins. In his body, he received those sins in his body. Nine. The Apostle John is proving the true humanity of Christ. The Apostle John is proving the true humanity of Christ and thereby proving that the grace gospel is salvation only by faith in Christ and his work on the cross. The Apostle John is proving the true humanity of Christ and thereby proving the grace gospel that salvation is only by faith in Christ and his work on the cross. 10. Satan attacked the cross. Satan attacked the salvation work of Christ on the cross. He attacked it every way possible. And he used the spirit of Antichrist, the false teachers, the Gnostics. He used them, and they denied the deity of Christ. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. They denied the hypostatic union of Christ. They denied the existence of the true humanity of Christ, that he had a true human body. They totally denied that he had a true human body while our Lord was on earth. And they obscured the importance of our Lord's spiritual death on the cross. Those 3 hours of darkness when the sins of the world were poured out on him in his body. God the Father poured out the sins of the whole world in the body of Christ on the cross, and then judged those sins in his body. Satan tried every way possible to attack the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And he did so through the Gnostics, these false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist in John's day. But he's doing the same thing today. He's doing the same thing today. You won't see the name Gnosticism or Gnostics. But the spirit of Antichrist is all over America and all around the world. He's still attacking the cross, still attacking the deity of Christ, the true humanity of Christ, the hypostatic union of Christ, the impeccability of Jesus Christ. He's still doing the same thing today. It has different monikers on it, but he's doing the same thing. And most of the world has listened and believed the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. This is what John is teaching now. In this is an amazing passage. The Gnostics denied the imputation of the world's sins to the body of Christ. He didn't have a human body. He wasn't true humanity. So they totally denied the imputation of the world's sins to the body of Christ and the judgment of those sins in the body of Christ. Satan philosophized the cross. And at the time of John, he did so through Gnosticism. That's why John repeats himself. Verse 6, this one is the one who came, first advent, by water and by blood, namely Jesus Christ, absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. Now, what does he mean by water and by blood? Well, you have to come back next week. We'll see exactly why he repeated himself. This is so... You know, the first time I just read that, why did he repeat himself? And then I got looking, wow. This is very powerful. Why he repeated himself. So next week we'll pick it up. What does it mean by water and by blood? That's the key. By water and by blood. That's the key right there. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.